Welcome back to the Legal Digest podcast. This is your host, Natalie, and with me today is Kat Moss. We'll be talking about her career journey and why lawyers are leaving the profession. Kat is a former lawyer in a regional firm and now works as a member of the cabin crew. But aside from that, her interests outside of the law include modelling. She's walked the runway in London, New York, Milan and Paris Fashion Week, and she also performs in the circus and also works as a dancer. Hi, Kat, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you, Natalie. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm really happy to talk to you because when we first spoke, I thought your career and your interests outside of the law are so different to what we imagine lawyers actually do. And you bring your personality to everything. And I think that's really important, whatever career you choose. But I also want to talk about the reason why lawyers are leaving the profession. But before we go into that, can you tell us about your career journey so far?
Sure. So going right back to the start, I did law as an A-level. I had fantastic teachers, Mrs. Flanagan and Mr. Rogers, I still remember them. And I thought, okay, I've really enjoyed this as an A-level. And it was simply a case of, I'll do it as a degree. Didn't have this burning desire to be a lawyer or anything like that. So I kind of just fell into it that way. And then I went to the University of East Anglia in Norwich, which is having a fantastic time. And then for my postgrad, I went to the University of Law in Moorgate, and Chelmsford was my home for me. So that worked out quite well from a travelling perspective. And then I started my training contract in 2018, which meant I had 1 year as like a gap year, essentially. I called it like a forced gap year because I wouldn't have had a gap year otherwise. And in that year, I was just waitressing, and I thought, you know what? I want to do some traveling. So I said to my partner, I said to him, well, I'm going to go traveling. And he's a couple of years older, and he was settled in a job. And he was like, oh, but Kat, you know, my job. And I said, oh, that's fine. I said, I'm going traveling. I said, you can come with me or you don't. So funny, as soon as I said that, he was like, okay, I'm coming with you. And I think that was quite an important moment looking back, because it just opened up my eyes to there is a whole world out there. And I just absolutely loved it. And then when I got back, I also managed to secure a showgirl contract in Greece, which I loved. So I just had the best time. And then it was like, right, I've had this fantastic year. And then I commenced my training contract. I was with a regional firm for the training contract. And then I qualified in September 2020. But the firm I was with, they start looking at NQ positions from about March onwards, which March 2020 was the joy of COVID. That kind of came as a shock because I wanted a private client and there was no private client jobs. So then I managed to get a job with another regional firm, and I was with them for about a year and 8 months until I decided, actually, no, I want to do something completely different. And now I've just finished my training and I'm cabin crew for British Airways. So that's very, very exciting.
And also really different as well.
Very different. Yeah. Most people, I think, if they leave the law, they might go into something kind of academic per se. Yeah. But for me, I thought, no, this suits me down to the ground. So, I'm really excited, really excited. I can't wait to hopefully see some amazing places.
Wow, sounds really interesting. I mean, aside from kind of your career journey as well, you've got a lot of interests outside of work. Modeling, it sounds really interesting. I mean, you've walked Paris Fashion Week, you're a dancer. I think you told me before that you are into fire breathing as well.
Basically, I don't do anything normal. funny you say that, actually. I was yesterday I was saying to my other half, I was like, right, I need to shoot a fire reel. Like, I was like, you can be my photographer. And he's like, oh, what are you up to now? But he's used to it because it's just me. I've always kind of been a dancer. And I kind of said to my mum when I was 18, I didn't know whether to go down the dance route or to go down the law route. And my mum said to me, she said, you know, do something academic and you can always have that to fall back on. And but it's always been my passion and it's always been there. And so the different things I do, so I'm a dancer slash showgirl, so I'm 5'10", which is kind of perfect for showgirls. I think that kind of helped me secure the contract in Greece as well, which is great. I've done agency work, so I've been a dancer for like James Blunt,
Wow. One of
his music videos. He's really lovely, actually. He's a really nice guy. I was an extra for one of Sam Smith as well. That was fun. You can basically, you only know it's me if you pause it at that exact time, and I have to like, you almost have to zoom in. I'll be like, that's me. Like, no one would
gonna do that now.
And I've kind of got into aerials. That's like hoop and silks, which is like circus class. It's like circus. I do trapeze as well, but I don't enjoy trapeze. It's just so much pain. A lot of rope burn. It really hurts. And I've got, over COVID lockdown, I bought my own like equipment to practice outside. So the neighbors, I have like this, I think it's like 12 foot high, this massive structure in my garden. And I just like hang upside down on my silks, and my neighbors are just like, right, it's just Cat being Cat again. So the modeling, that's when I went to UBA, there was a Norwich Fashion Week going on, and I was 18, 19 at the time. And I was like, oh, that sounds fun. I'll give that a go. And I remember being there, and I remember being like, wow, like all these different models. And London Fashion Week was like the goal. That was the one that all of us wanted to do. And there were some people there just doing it for fun and didn't want to like pursue it any further. But I was like, this is so interesting. And I was like, I wonder how far I could take this. So I kind of do it like 100 miles an hour. And I remember going into like, and I'd walked in even before this point, I'd kind of, when I was like 16, I remember walking into like Storm, which are like, I remember they were like Kate Moss's agency, and like really big names. I was just really gutsy. I was just like, right, I'm just going to walk in and be like, do you need models? And I got rejected from every single one.
Really?
But yeah, you know what though? I think modeling is kind of very much an Instagram versus reality kind of dimension to it. People think it's very glamorous. They think you get given this and that, you get all these opportunities, but it's graft. It's real graft. And I think it's actually stood me in really good stead for being a lawyer and just generally life, because I just don't take no for an answer, and you just got to keep going. And that's kind of what happened when I went into an agency. When I was doing Norwich Fashion Week, they were like, oh, you're not really suited for London Fashion Week. And I was like, no, I don't like that answer. So I was like, no, that's fine. I walked out. I didn't throw a fuss or anything. And I was like, I'm going to not only walk in London. I decided at that moment, I'm going to walk in the big four. I'm going to do Paris. I'm going to do Milan. I'm going to do New York. Just because you said I can't do London. And that was been my goal. And I managed to do London, after years of trying to get in, I managed to finally get in 2018. And I do that every year now, every season. So this season, February and September. Like, and it's so nice because I know the girls and I know the production and stuff. So lovely. And then 2019, I did New York. 2020, I did Milan just before lockdown hit. 2021, last year, I managed to do Paris. So yeah, I'm a little bit like, where should I go now? What should I do?
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. How do you get in? Like, how do you get into it? And so getting jobs and stuff.
So it was a case of a lot of them you can apply online, but I just walk into like these London agencies. I'm freelance now because for me, I found the agencies didn't really get me any jobs, to be honest. That was my experience of it, and London's a very saturated market. So I just walked in and I was like, right, this is me. Like, but it was more a case of it's all who you know, and social media is a great way for like, people share if they need models, and you just get to know people. So how I managed to do international catwalks was because the designers that fly over for London Fashion Week, I was going out. I sound so crazy, but I was like going out with my little model, like it's called Z card, or like a business card, basically. Being like, do you need a model? Do you need a model? I can come over to Milan. I can come over to Paris. Like literally, and like some of them would be like mid, like dressing their girls. And they'd be like, who's this crazy lady like coming up to me? And I was just like, but it works. And that was how I got New York. And then I got a different designer for Milan and Paris as well. And then Milan, I managed to do two shows because the lady who was designer, she knew someone else. And so it's the hardest bit is getting your foot through that door. So yeah, that's kind of been, I suppose, a whole like whirlwind. And with regards to going back to my dancing, I suppose what I'm doing now goes into the kind of fire eating and the stilt walking. It's called like upskilling in the industry. And now I want to do it more as a side hustle alongside cabin crew. I am learning to do fire eating, which basically is what it sounds. You just basically set some, there's like these proper like fire wicks they're called, and you set them alight and you dance around with them, you do body burns, and you basically put the fire out in your mouth.
Oh my God.
And stilt walking, which is basically I bought my stilts from like this plasterer second hand, and he was like, what's this 20 something girl doing, like buying these plastering stilts? So I was like, thank you very much. So yeah, and you basically, it's just for like festivals or nightclubs, and yeah, it's just a way to, it's called upskilling in the industry, and that's kind of my focus now, because my focus has gone more onto monetizing it, because I'm going to have more time, and also because I'm doing cabin crew, so I'm going to want to monetize it. And but more than anything, it's my love, and I just love them all, and they all kind of blend in well together, and they're all different, and yeah, it's quite exciting, really.
Yeah, maybe you should change your name to Kate Moss.
You know what? I've had that so many times. I have. Yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll change my Instagram handle.
Yeah.
You never know.
But they must still kind of stick to the old ideals of what models should be like then, by the sounds of it. Even though you hear about designers branching out and becoming more inclusive, it sounds like they still are stuck in the Kate Moss ideal of what a supermodel should be like.
Yeah, I think it's definitely becoming more inclusive, which is fantastic. I think as well, they do want somebody that maybe has a unique feature, or like, you know, you look at Cara Delevingne for eyebrows, and that's one thing I struggled, and why I kind of went freelance, is because there's nothing that particularly makes me different. I'm 5'10", tall, blonde girl, freckles. And I felt like it was just such a saturated market. I wasn't actually getting many jobs. When I was being put in a pool I'd turn up to a casting, and there'd be like 50 other blonde girls with freckles. And I was like, how are they going to pick me? Like, and also as well, I didn't have complete freedom, because I was still tied to, I was doing my master's at the time. I did my legal practice course. I did it alongside with an integrated master's. So that whilst I was in London, I was like trying to go to castings, but it's just hard. Like, you have to pay, like, you know, it's a lot of time. You have to go down, pay, you know, you don't get paid to go to castings. So I just found the input to output ratio wasn't working for me. And that's why I went more freelance, because some lady coming up to you and being like, do you need a model? This is what I look like. You know, hire me type thing, book me. That's a lot more direct. But yeah, sorry, going back to your question, I think it is becoming more inclusive, but it's so hard to kind of market yourself and make yourself different. And I think the thing is, because it's so many people, everyone can model, everyone can model. Whereas I think something that is more, dare I say, skilled, it is skilled what models do. There's more that goes on behind the scenes that people realize, and they just make it look easy. That is the skill. But yeah, something like fire eating, for example, you can't just wing that.
No.
You have to train. So that's why I think I want to focus on things that I can really train. And because the modeling, so much of it is out of your hands and out of your control, and you've just got to, you know, do your best and not get down if, you know, you don't get a job or something like that. Because if you got down every time you didn't get a job, you're in the wrong industry, because modeling is a hard industry.
So the law has kind of prepared you for that then, I guess.
Oh, 100%.
Just going back to that then, I want to talk to you about why so many lawyers are leaving the profession. So the International Bar Association reported that within the next 5 years, more than half of young lawyers are likely to leave their jobs.
Wow.
And this was based on 3,000 lawyers surveyed under the age of 40, and 70% of them said that a major concern was the lack of work-life balance and the failure to address toxic workplace culture. So when you're going back to your law firm days, was it what you expected, and what was your reason for leaving the profession?
Good question. So On one hand, it was what I expected because I did a lot of work experience and things like that. But I suppose one thing that didn't prepare you for is when you're on work experience, you see what it's like, you don't appreciate, you don't have the targets on you, you don't have the stresses of just kind of having God knows how many cases that you're trying to keep on top of and running a full caseload, all of that kind of side of things. For me, COVID was a massive factor. So I qualified in September 2020. And what happened was, I think being in NQ throughout COVID and working from home in a new firm, and perhaps I didn't have as much support as I needed. I just found it like this. It was, my anxiety was through the roof in terms of, I just wanted to do a good job. I just wanted to do a good job. But that's so hard when you're isolated from your colleagues, and I know you've got teams and things like that, but really as an NQ lawyer, you still need so much support and guidance. And I think COVID really made that challenging. And it was a hard time anyway. I mean, to be stripped back of, you know, seeing family, friends and everything else, which I suppose probably added to the stress of it as well. And it got to the point where for me, like you think, right, is this a bad patch? Like, I'm just new, it will be fine, it will settle down. And it just got to the point where it all just felt a bit of a struggle, to be honest. And I just thought, okay, it got to the point where I was like, what are my options here? Like, because I can't sustain this level of just waking up in the morning and being like, I just don't want to go into work. I just don't want to go in. I had fantastic support by my other half, and he saw, like, it's such a mental roller coaster. I think anybody that is leaving the law, because you don't leave without good reason, or you haven't, you know, people don't just think, oh, I've had a bad day today, that's it, I'm off. No, it's a process of, is this really what I want to do? Is that even an option? Can I financially do it? Is it viable? Is, you know, I feel like a failure for leaving. All these different things go through your head. So, yeah, I think, and going back to COVID as well, I think it just made people reassess generally, whether across all different industries, what's your why? Why are you doing this? And for me, I realised if you stripped back my holidays, that's what I was working for. I'm working to earn money to go on holiday. Yeah. You take the holidays away, it's like, whoa. Like, what's my why? What's my why?
Yeah.
And that's what I question all the time, is what's my why? Why am I doing this? I think that's so important. And I think it's probably part of the reason why so many lawyers are leaving, like that kind of COVID's kind of reset some people's minds. Well, not reset, it's kind of made people rethink, okay, how do I want to spend my time? Time's important. And I think it made you realise that nothing's a given. And I'm quite... what's the word, maybe philosophical, in the sense that I believe, like, you know, we don't know if we have tomorrow, we just got to make the most of it. So to then be in a job where you feel like, I just can't wait to get to Friday, it was conflicting what I truly believe, which is like, we should just make the most of life because it's short and we don't know how long we've got.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think COVID is a part of that. I think for me, being a regional lawyer, my work-life balance was good. I think I was quite strong on that, in terms of, right, no, I've done my hours, right? But one thing that became really, really apparent, which was quite shocking, is when I would say to people, and they'd say, oh, you're leaving the law. They'd say, oh, what firm are you going to, you're moving to? And I'd say, and it's that expectation of you're staying in the law. And I would say, oh, no, it's a bit different. And that was my kind of way of preparing them. And I'd say, oh, I'm actually being cabin crew. And they were like, instantly, the walls came down. Oh, my God, that's amazing. Oh, my God, I haven't been happy in my job, or this or that. And whoever I, like, paths crossed with, like, whether they were in law, not in law, whatever. And I think there's this kind of, firstly, it's shocking how many people, and it ties into that statistic, 50% of young lawyers in 5 years could leave the profession.
Yeah.
I think it ties into that. A lot of people just kind of trudge on through, thinking it will get better or this is fine, because this is what everyone else is doing. Everyone else is just going working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 or overtime sometimes, whatever it might be. But I suppose to actually take a step back and reassess, is this, what's my why?
Yeah.
Is, you kind of start from scratch then. So, I think it's interesting times, because I think particularly the flexible working that's kind of been, and COVID working from home, things like that, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the legal profession, because if they don't keep up, I think particularly young lawyers are going to think, why are you asking me to come into the office all the time? It's not needed. You know, I appreciate young lawyers, they need support, they need guidance, and they need to be in the office. But when there's other industries that there's this trust of, yeah, you can work from home, you don't have to ask, you can, you know, just don't take the mickey, and you know, just if you work hard, we'll give back to you. And I think sometimes the law industry is very much, it feels like you're not trusted. Are not trusted. And I think that was a big gripe for me, having to ask, can I work from home? And again, fully appreciate, particularly as a junior lawyer, you know, you do need that support. There are some things that it's just more useful to be at home. You know, life happens. If you're, you know, you've got a repairman coming around to fix the washing machine, whatever it might be, and to kind of feel like, oh, am I going to be able to get it off? Is that going to be a problem? And have that extra layer of, I suppose you're always having to ask.
It can feel a bit like school sometimes as well.
Yeah.
And it's a very rigid way of working.
Yeah.
And I think also I left working permanently for like one employer. I now just freelance through an agency. So I can actually work anywhere that I like. And I always wanted to have the flexibility of working from any location.
Yeah.
But employers don't like that. No. Because for them, they're losing that element of control.
Yes.
So as soon as you tell them that, it's like, oh no, we can't do that. It's too risky. There are ways of doing it, but it's too risky for them to look into. They don't want to,
It's simply a case that they don't want to. And it's frustrating because people that are lawyers, you haven't just fallen into being a lawyer in terms of, oh, I've just passed my exams one day. No, it's hard work, it's dedication, it's perseverance. So you are the type of individual that you are going to work hard. You're physically, you have to, you know, time record. They could see what you're doing. So wherever you're doing that, you are still having to produce an output of some form. So it is frustrating when you feel like there's that constant. I suppose as well, I think there's a really big disconnect as well, I notice, between the older lawyers and the junior lawyers. Because the junior lawyers, we're coming through, we want that work-life balance, we want that flexible working. I don't live to work, I work to live. Yeah, make sure I get that the right way around. is that the right way around? Yeah.
Yeah, you don't live to work.
Yes, no.
That's
the one. But I think when perhaps the more senior lawyers were more junior, you have to, like this whole thing about FaceTime culture, just having to be there. I absolutely can't stand that.
Yeah.
Like, are we just going to pretend that people don't have families and they actually, like, it's ludicrous. Like, why are we doing that? And I think in a way it's just a shame, because so many people, I think particularly as well, one thing that was highlighted for me is I felt like even just working in an office 5 days a week takes up so much of your time, and everything else has to bend around that. So whether that's your family, your friends, your socials, like all of that, you have to fit around this chunk that is work. And I think what I like about my setup now, or if you had your flexible working or something like that, it means you can, you know, you don't have to do that commute. So you can then go in, see your friends for longer if you're seeing them that evening, or it just goes such a long way. It really, really does. And from an employer's point of view, what difference does it truly make? Particularly to have some kind of balance, even if they wanted, you know, if it was say client facing, a particularly private client, appreciate, you have to be in, you have to see clients, appreciate that. But 5 days a week, is it, you know, some firms that are still sticking by that, I just think they're going to lose talented people, because talented people are going to think, no, why? What's your why? Why are you asking me to do this? And it comes down to control.
Yeah. And I think what everyone's looking for now is real flexibility. So that could mean so many different things to everybody. And the other thing that I was thinking is that I've always worked in places where there's quite toxic workplace culture. And I think that was one of my reasons for not wanting to be in the office, if I'm honest. Because as soon as you're away from there, that is removed, you can focus on your work. And I think the people that want to be in the office perhaps don't have that. They get on with everybody. But the reality is that we don't always, we're with this group of people who we have to work with, so we have to get along with. But it's quite a competitive environment, especially in a law firm. And if you've got the old ways of thinking, it just fuels that kind of toxic workplace culture. So that's, I suppose, my reason for kind of leaving that rigid structure and moving into more freelancing. But I think everything that you said resonates with a lot of people, especially the younger generations that are just entering the law. And now you're seeing the new kind of law firm structures pop up where they're completely remote, some of these firms, or they offer a more hybrid structure. I mean, I think most companies now will say, how do you prefer to work? So I think that's really key on retaining staff as well.
And
helping people stay in the law, because if we get to a stage where there aren't enough lawyers, the pressure and of the kind of the amount of work is just going to keep going up and up. And that's not going to, that's just going to add to the pressures that we're already under. So what do you think, I guess this leads me on to, what's the biggest misconception then, do you think, that aspiring lawyers have about the law, and how can they prepare for it?
I think this is an interesting question. I think for me, and I'm coming from a regional law firm, it's probably, it's money. It is money. I think the people think when you're a lawyer, you're gonna have so much money and you're gonna be sorted. And when I was doing all the studying and all the exams, it was like, right, I'm setting myself up to financially be secure. And you get there, and I think I appreciate that regional firm tends to be, you know, work-life balance, which I did have. And but it was a case of where I started looking around and I started seeing friends from different industries, and they were on similar money, or if not more, they were getting bonuses, they were getting, and I was thinking, hold on a minute, they have better flexibility, they can work from home when they want, they seem more relaxed, they're not waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my god, I haven't done this. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying their job's not hard, every job is hard, but I see each job now as a package. So, and you've just got to be, if you're happy with your job, you're happy with the package that your job gives to you. So for example, if you're really money motivated, you might go straight for the London firm and you want that big salary. You have no work-life balance, but you're getting a big salary at the end of it. So that's your success. And that's kind of society's success. I put in inverted commas, because, oh, you're pulling this away, this big pay packet, good for you. But for me, I've always had it in mind of, I wanted my, and I think it's because I have a lot of other interests, I wanted time to pursue that, and or at least be able to, you know, go to dance class, whatever it might be. So I wanted the work-life balance, and that's what a regional firm it does give you a better balance. But I think in terms of my job, my package that my job kind of gave to me, it was kind of like, hold on a minute, actually, there's other jobs paying just as much, if not more. So this, what people perceive you to be on, it's not necessarily all the case. And on top of that, they had more of a flexible structure. And also as well, just from the point of view, it was a bit like, you know, no disrespect to my other friends or anything like that, but they hadn't done the, you know, the postgrad. You know, the master's, the LPC, the 2 years training. So you're doing all of this extra stuff. Essentially have be on the same wage as somebody in a different industry. Obviously each industry that, you know, it varies. But that opened up my eyes actually, because when I was training or when I was studying, there's this perception of I'm going to be on loads of money and all the stress and stuff, at least it can afford you a really nice life and X, Y, Z. So I think for me, I mean, your answer might be very different because you went to more of a London st- start, you know, was it a London firm? So
I started in London, but I think I just agree with everything that you say in terms of it's not you walk in and you earn a six-figure salary and you're sorted for life, because I don't think that's true at all. And I think there are lots of different avenues, or I don't know, paths you could say, that are now coming up. So there's legal tech. A lot of people have been leaving and moving into sort of project management roles and legal tech, where they're earning more money. And there's also this added thing as well, when you're a solicitor, that you have a responsibility. You have to comply with the code of conduct.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful what you say and how you act all the time, because the SRA can look at that and say, what are you doing? You know, there's that risk. So there's an extra layer of responsibility, I think.
Yeah.
So are you what's the word I'm looking for? Compensated for that? I don't know. But I think it's a long-term career.
Yeah,
it can take you anywhere. So I think that's the benefit to it. And at the end of the day, even if you do leave, you've left with these skills and with your education.
100%. And I think that is one massive barrier for people. If they think, oh, shall I leave, shall I not? Is they think, I don't know anything else. And that's what I thought. I thought, I don't know anything else. And I thought, Kat Moss, what are you going on about? You have so many transferable skills. Like, you are highly educated. You've got an undergrad, like a master's, an LPC, you know, you're a qualified solicitor. Do not pick yourself back up. And I think that's what's the worst thing is, I think particularly in these toxic environments, I wasn't from a toxic environment. I think that was a positive, maybe perhaps more of a regional firm. I didn't feel like the workplace was toxic. It had its pressures, don't get me wrong, but the people were lovely. And
there has been a lot of stuff circulating about magic circle firms offering 179,000 for NQs. Mm-hmm. Not every single NQ earns that much. It's just the magic circle firms. So there's a lot of misconceptions about what you earn when you leave. And a lot of people think, I'll finish my LPC and I'll walk into a training contract and I'll earn a six-figure salary and I'm sorted for life.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case for me. I worked as a paralegal for 7 years. Yeah. It took me such a long time. So you just don't know how it's going to be until you get into it. And getting your foot in the door is really hard as well.
Oh, that's 100%. Another thing. 100%. And I think as well how the law is portrayed in, you know, even TV programs and things like that. It's this perception all the time of, you know, you've just got, you know, so much money and you walk around in designer outfits and this and that, and it's like, no, it's really not. Some firms maybe, but you know, particularly not, I suppose, regional firms and things like that. And so it's interesting, I think, but that plays into people's perception. I've got a friend as well, and she's like, I'm an iron about whether to leave the law, and she looks at me and she says, oh, but it's all right for you. Like, she says, I mean this in the nicest of ways, but it's all right for you because you knew what you wanted to do. And I said, no, I didn't. You have to figure it out. You have to. And, you know, people could have thought, oh, cabin crew, I'll dismiss that because that wouldn't work practically because I live 2 hours away from the airport and, you know, I've got another half and what's, you know, what about this drop in salary or this or that? So at the end of the day, I think people put, you're kind of guilty of putting up your barriers yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not until someone actually points them out and says, no, you are free. You're just putting yourself with, you know, bars around yourself. That's what you're doing.
It's so true what you say about people projecting their own fears and ideas of success on you. Because when I first told people that I was leaving my permanent job and then going into freelance and that I wasn't going to be living in the UK full time, the first response was, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Why are you giving up a permanent job? But I wasn't getting any more benefits to staying in that job. In fact, it was more rigid and I was kind of stuck, like living for the weekend.
Yes.
And now I can actually do things that I like. I can choose when I want to work.
Yeah.
Like how many days. I could go part-time if I wanted to. I could take 2 or 3 months off if I wanted because I'm not tired. Yeah, like, and so I'm free. I'm just, this is ultimate freedom, really. It's great.
But you don't get... Sorry, carry on.
No, people are still very sort of skeptical of that way of working. And it's, I think it's that feeling of like having the security of a permanent job. But the truth is that you could still lose a permanent job.
Yeah.
Anyway, it, nothing stays the same in life. I think that's one of the things that I learned, is things just chop and change constantly. Yeah. So if you're thinking of changing your job, that's no different to things happening in life that changes the way that you think 100%. Or what you feel.
So, 100%. Yeah. And I think life is unpredictable. And I think as well, when COVID happened as it did, I never thought that I'd kind of be with qualifying with another firm. And I felt very much like they were like, right, there's no jobs going, you've got to go elsewhere. And I was on my own, and I was like, right, okay, like who is recruiting in this climate? And I think that was really hard time, but I'm a great believer that everything happens for a reason. And that made me, I suppose, stronger to think, actually, when the chips are down, at the end of the day, you fight for yourself, because the firm, if you're not in the, it's a business at the end of the day. And I get it, like, you know, if they don't want to be taking on new, you know, if they thought perhaps redundancies might be on the cards, they're not going to, you know, take on NQ solicitors and things like that. But it was a bitter pill to swallow, because it was like, wow, I didn't see that one coming. And it all comes back to change and just being able to adapt the best that you can.
Yeah.
Because that's really all you can do. That's all you can do. But, and you've got to be brave to go for things as well. Like, credit to you for what you've done. I think that's amazing, because again, I think people might love their job, but might not like the rigid side of it. But you've said, okay, I'm still in the law, I still enjoy the law, but I'm going to change it to how it suits me.
Yeah.
And that takes guts. That really does. So hats off to you. And you're the one that gets the benefit from it.
Exactly. I guess that brings me on to the last question then. So where do you see like your career going? Are you do you see yourself staying in the cabin crew, or maybe branching out?
I think there's a beauty, actually. For the first time in my life, I'm not putting any pressure on myself. When people say, how long are you going to do cabin crew for? I'm going to do it for as long as I enjoy it. And it really is that simple. I might have a year, I might have 3 years, I might have 10 years, I might do it forever. But I think it's nice to just not live with that kind of burden of, right, I'm here now, I have to stay. I've got the possibility of going back to law. I've also got the possibility in BA if, you know, maybe working my way up the ranks there or whatever it might be. I think my future, a large part of it's unknown, but I'm really excited. I know it's going to involve joy, like so much happiness, because I mean, I'm off to India in 2 days' time, and hopefully get to see Taj Mahal, and just fun things are coming my way, and hopefully my gigs as well, so my dance, my aerial, all of that side of things. Hopefully that, I really want to put time and effort into that, which I have now. I have the time, I have the energy to pour into that. And if that goes somewhere, amazing. If not, you know what, at least I can look back and say I've tried. But yeah, I'm not 100%, but one thing I know is that it's going to be good, whatever it's going to be. It's nice just to be excited for life, 100%.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for joining me today, Kat. And I really hope the listeners enjoyed our discussion on today's episode. If you enjoy the show, please rate and review us. If you'd like to get in touch with Kat about anything that we discussed today, you can reach her on social media. We will leave her details in this episode's description. And you can also reach out to us about any of the things that we talked about today or in any other episodes on social media or by email. Thanks for listening.